age to get their diploma. Personal times like weddings and funerals also call for procession over a person's life. To start and end the Olympic Games always displays that magnificent of those competing athletes and their countries waving their flags and walking around. Even the exchange in government has a procession to transfer power from one leader to the next. As we come to the most important week of the Christian church, it's not surprising that there is a procession on Palm Sunday. Jesus riding into Jerusalem was a parade at the high time of Passover. It was already a time where people were celebrating when God delivered his people from Egypt out of the hands of Pharaoh. And yet the people received Jesus with a welcome fit for a king. And that's what they saw him to be on that Passover. To cry out Hosanna literally means help us, save us. Of course, the saving work of Jesus is not what any would expect or had in mind for the Christ, the Messiah. It's why our Palm Sunday, why we celebrate as Christians, we take on that tone of humility, since Hosanna unto the Son of God is for him to die on the cross. The second gospel reading you heard today, the longer one, reveals what Jesus would give of himself. When you think about it, we really don't hear about and read the scriptures of Jesus suffering and death, but usually just once a year on Good Friday. And so we hear them again today. Love for his Father in heaven, as we know, is the passion of why Jesus would die at the hands of a sinful world. Holy Week has begun. Processing with Christ is to believe in his glory that alone can save. Jesus processes into Jerusalem with glory, and it was the kind of glory that everyone could see. It had to be an out-of-this-world moment for the disciples, you think? At last, the teacher and Lord did not hide himself from the public eye. When they wanted to make him king after feeding 5,000, Jesus kind of cut and run. But on Palm Sunday, it wasn't that. And so choosing palm branches to greet him, you see, was a sign of Jewish nationalism. It would be the equivalent to us today waving American flags for an important person. Jesus truly was receiving the attention fit for a king, even the king of Israel. Even his enemies felt this magnificent presentation had even squelched all their plans. They thought it was all snuffed out. The whole world had gone after to him, at least the world as that they saw it to be. How does the procession of Christ look to you as we begin Holy Week? Does it come with power, like our presidential motorcade, escorted by police and the Secret Service, protecting our president? Is it with the energy of screaming fans we see today over some pop star getting out of a car and showing up into a community and everybody just going gaga over them? Jesus had plans. He really did. He had plans to ride into Jerusalem for his last Passover. Yet it was to enter into the glory, not based upon what men were going to give him, a manipulation of people. He was fulfilling the promise of Scripture, the glory that God hid away in the Old Testament. You heard it today from Zechariah. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey. Everything's right about Jesus' procession into Jerusalem. Everything just so perfect and so just splendid, except for that donkey. Such humility does not fare well in this kind of a world. Military leaders never show a sign of weakness to their soldiers, right? Coaches do not say to their team, "You guys go out there and just play nice, you hear?" Likewise, a prominent person like Donald Trump does not get where he is at with all his big bucks without those words you've heard on TV, "You're fired." All this the world seeks after, and it is what sinners look to and lust over. We want it all. We want to win. We see no other way. Holy Week asks one question. Is it about him or us? Christ did suffer and die for our sins, but we still seek a Jesus fitting for this world. Yet how well does the scriptures speak of the very opposite? How well did Isaiah, one of the greatest Old Testament prophets, tuck it away so clearly? He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And we esteemed him not. Palm Sunday starts out to speak the right kind of hosanna. Jesus saves us not for earthly gain, to give us big churches to talk about the big things we want to be able to do, or even to make me feel important. All this is a road to death and hell. For only in Jesus, only in Christ and his cross is there hope. And this is the kind of hope, not by the strength of men or the works of men, but the hope purely in Jesus by faith in what he does. The true glory that alone saves is to see Jesus' great humility. Plenty praise the power of God, and that's exactly what the people considered on Palm Sunday. It was the power of God. It's kind of the power that which the farmers can see growing in the field and you put that seed in the ground. It's the power that indeed changes the weather. It's the power that we all look to see in this world that God does have. And Jesus showed that he was God. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead. Anyone that powerful deserves the title king. Yet his power as God did not give Jesus the name that's above every name, like St. Paul talked about. How did Jesus get that name? No, that had to be at the hands of sinners, to become nothing. A name that would mark all people's lives with his sacrifice, by whips, nails, and a crown of thorns. God had to give up his power, so in humility, all our sin, disgrace, and death would finally fall upon him. Hosanna is to him who processes now into our lives to see his glory. But how do you see it? Luther tells us, all who believe in him are righteous and blessed, and will someday pass through temporal death into his eternal heavenly kingdom. That's why all of us should truly welcome this Christ King, recognizing him as our righteous helper, and by the power of the word, sacraments, and faith, enjoy him now and forever. Christ triumphs by means of grace, means by the way he wants to give himself to us. That is greater than whatever the world demands for greatness. His glory is so that the eye, our eyes which so easily deceive, eyes that so easily get worried, might finally have the gift of faith to trust in what he says. You might think, I do not feel joy, Pastor, by what I see going on in my life right now. You might ask, where is this glory of Jesus? I do not see him. Our Lord's greatness, once again, on this beginning of Holy Week, is in his humility. He rode in on a donkey to do what none other could do. Is it any less glorious for him to do the same for you in your daily lives then, in a very humble way? To be present as you love your neighbor as yourselves, as he has loved you? Yet his promise is triumph for the baptized. Triumph in normal, painful, confused, and hurting lives. Holy Week has set the tone with Hosanna that heads to the cross. Processing with Jesus is to believe in his glory. And this is the kind of glory that alone can save, because he is the Savior of sinners. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, be with your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting, in his name that is above every name. Amen. And we continue on page 223, singing the Te Deum.